It's wonderful to have Peg Luke here on The Antidote for a Chat. Thanks so much for coming, Peg.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Now, Peg, you have to help me with something. A flute player is sometimes called a flautist. Other time it's a flutist. So which one is correct?
I think this is my most asked question.
Sorry to bore you.
Oh, no. You don't bore me at all. The answer to your question, in my view, is I'm a flute player. I don't play the flout. So never have. So I try not to be stuffy.
Okay, well, here's something important I need to ask. Now, okay. The Antidote is known for having rock and metal bands as guests. So will you take this show to a higher level?
I have no opinion on that. I'm not going to say anything. Let your viewer be the judge on that one.
Well, let's get into one of your songs. With Benediction, you covered the very basis of Christian faith. Was this one of those I must record that kind of songs?
Yeah, because the message is kind of from John, you know. God put Jesus into the world, you know, to help us, not to condemn us, to help us, to be there for us, not try to judge and ridicule. And it's all about love, you know. God sent his son into the world to love the world, you know. It seems like more and more lately I'm talking about love because, you know, the world is just kind of tipsy-turvy right now. I don't know
how to say tipsy-turvy. Boy, aren't you being polite. Tell us what you really think.
It's upside down. The world is upside down. And I think the thing that bothers me the most are people that are not truly loving other people, but yet claim God as their foundation and platform. And it never makes sense to me. It's kind of like, okay. I try not to judge. I try to love. So I try to love through all of it, but it can take the best of you. So then you kind of have to give it all up to God and just say, you know, I'm not into this world to be sitting here judging people, but sometimes it's just difficult to live in it.
I totally understand that. Now, there's something I always want to hear from an artist, and that's about how they became involved in music. How did it begin for you, Peg?
I was 5 years old. I started piano lessons. I was really a shy girl, and I wouldn't ask the piano teacher to take lessons. And my mom said, well, if you really want to take piano lessons, you'd better ask her. So I muscled up the nerve to ask her, and she said yes. And so it started with a private lesson every week, and then along with it, a group lesson where we studied a lot of things from sight singing to dictation to history. And, you know, that really rounded me as a musician. So I credit Ina Schuler for that. And she's no longer with us, but she was an amazing teacher. And then at 7 years old, I started the flute. And I started privately as well there, and I've had many teachers over the years, and it just morphed. I mean, at 7 years old, I kind of had this calling to do flute as a livelihood, so I just kind of focused on it from early on and kept going with it, and graduated college and taught college level, university level for decades, and did 11 Carnegie Hall concerts and had a few Grammy nods and an Emmy nod. And, you know, it's still happening for me. But the whole thing was very unexpected how I got into the Christian world, because I was really, and I still am, I kind of think of myself as a classical musician. So you can hear the classical side of my upbringing in my music.
Oh, it's very obvious.
I think so, too.
You started as just a wee lass.
Just a tiny little girl with very curly hair. Yep.
Okay, be honest with us. Did your parents force you into become involved in music?
No, absolutely not. my mom was a teacher and my dad was a businessman. And no, they did not have very much music in their, no. But they were supportive of me. They were supportive of anything that I felt that I needed to do. They were supportive of it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of your latest songs is My Faith Looks Up. For some people, keeping God in the center can be a real struggle. Has your faith always been constant?
No. No, I've had times in my life where I veered off. And, you know, I was quite a partier in college. And then at age 32, I figured I could no longer handle alcohol. So I got off the alcohol. And from there, my life got better. But when my mom and dad passed, that was really when God started speaking to me. It was kind of like, you know, you don't have anything. I think maybe I relied on my mom and dad too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was then that I started to realize, you know, I've got to start leaning on something that really is important. And that was God for me.
What about acceptance of your music from listeners? Has that been easy to achieve, especially with having the Christian content?
I do my music for people that want to hear it. For people that don't want to hear it, that's fine. I'm gotten to the point in my life that for people that want to hear it and it means something to them, fantastic. For people that it doesn't resonate with, I'm like, fantastic. You know, do what you want to do. But I'm not in it for the accolades. I'm in it for helping people and serving God. I feel like I have a message and that message needs to be heard.
You're not worried about the fame and fortune?
I think I'm past that. I don't really want that. I don't really covet that.
So realistically, don't you do music for yourself and hopefully you'll get a listener?
I do music because it's a part of who I am. It's a part of my soul. It's kind of like I don't have a choice in this. It's kind of, I don't know, when you're born and you're raised and you're very creative and you love music and it's like, that's just who you are. I just feel like I have to do it. And in one capacity or another, if I stop doing it, then I feel like I kind of die. So yeah, it's part of how God created me, I think.
It completes you.
Sure does.
I got to tell you a little bit of a story. Just last week, I was teasing a band about recording a song that was written 4 centuries ago. But Peg, you've done your own recording of something that's 1,600 years old, Kyrie Eleison. It's a beautiful rendition, but I'm sure that some people may not be familiar with it. How about explaining the story that's behind the song?
Oh, well, I don't even remember exactly how I got onto it, other than I think it's a really, Kyrie Eleison just kind of rolls off your tongue. And it's really beautiful to sing. You know, certain words, certain syllables really make a piece gorgeous. And in this case, with Kyrie Eleison, I took that feeling of almost like a 3-4 and turned it kind of into a 4-4. Mm-hmm. And it just started kind of having this feeling of rolling. When things kind of start doing that, then you just kind of keep going with it. It is a beautiful song, I must admit. I think it's got a very prayerful quality to it. I think a lot of my music has that.
And is that the center of your music, the prayerful end of it?
I think so. I think it's about communing with God. And a lot of times when you commune with God, you have to be quiet. And maybe that's where my music tries to take you.
Isn't it hard to be quiet in our type of world where you're just so involved with technology and television and
yeah,
music and, you know, your iPhone or whatever you've got?
Yeah, you have to make a point to be quiet. It's something that you have to say, I'm going to do this. You have to make it a practice.
Something you brought up earlier, I want to get into a little bit more detail. As you mentioned, you've had a number of honors over the years, and you were nominated for both Emmy and Grammy Awards. I mean, really, that's quite an accomplishment. How did those come about?
Very unexpectedly. People hear my music, or they hear what I have to say, and this one wonderful videographer that lives in Nashville is a good friend of mine, and he did a video of one of my Christmas tunes and The Greatest Gift of All with the children's choir, and he wanted to interview me. So I thought, okay, that's fine. You can interview me and you can do a video on the piece. And lo and behold, he put together this amazing little docu clip of the whole thing. And by golly, if it didn't get a lot of notoriety, and he put it up for an Emmy and we made it into the finals. And I just thought, wow, I didn't expect this. And then the same thing with the Grammy nods. I've had several Grammy nods, and people hear my music and they're just like, this has got to go somewhere and we want to do something with it. And I'm like, okay, let's go ahead and do it. And I have another piece that I just released called Smiling Through the Pain. And I think we're going to maybe be doing something with that one as well. So people hear my music, they're moved, and they say this has to go to something greater. And usually nothing comes of it because I'm an independent artist, but I appreciate the nods, and I always will.
Well, it's not just those nods. You've also played Carnegie Hall and London's Cadogan Hall.
Yes.
What was it like playing in the UK?
Fantastic. Even when I was rehearsing, people come and they listen, and they really listen. They have a true appreciation of the art. I don't find that in rural America, but it is what it is. But I love London. I love London.
How long ago was that you were there?
10 years ago.
Not that I want you to date yourself. I was just curious.
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Okay, now it's time for opinions. Which venue did you prefer?
Carnegie Hall is always my favorite venue. I've been there 11 times. I always feel the great masters there when I'm there. I always feel the people, the spirits that have been there before me. I always feel a great empowerment when I go on stage there.
And it's massive.
Yeah, and audiences are crazy, crazy good. Yelling, screaming, applauding. Oh, yeah, I've had it all. Everything.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
You recorded a song with an unusual title, God on a Bumper Sticker.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a kind of a light name, but that song is serious, and it delves into faith and existential reflection. There must be a story behind the song.
It sure is. I've had an out-of-body experience where in college I was taking a relaxation course, and I actually relaxed so much that I left my body and saw myself sitting there, and all the pain was out of my body. This must be what it's like when you pass on. And so I took that story of my life and put it into this God on a Bumper Sticker, but I took it a little bit further and made it kind of a story, almost like a country Nashville story about, you know, my life was really bad and I was driving around and I was really upset and I really hated what was going on. And then I got in this car accident because I was really, really tired. I was driving the car and I was really pissed off. And all of a sudden I passed over, and then I was brought back to life. And it changed my whole outlook on life, that there is something greater than just this life, and that we have a lot to look forward to, and there's beauty, and the essence of the word love and light and beauty, and we haven't even seen it all here on Earth. So the song kind of resonates that way.
Why don't we keep on track with that body business and speak about your body? Because I'd read that you haven't been out much over the past few years since you were diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. That must be frustrating for you.
Yeah, but that's why God plays such a crucial role in my life, because I really believe that there's something greater for all of us. And yeah, I try to do the best that I can, but every day is every day is a blessing, but every day is a trial as well. I have a tremendous amount of pain.
How do you manage with the pain?
Sometimes I just have to be quiet, and sometimes I take med for it, and sometimes I have to surrender to it and just go through it, and then it always gets better. So it's kind of cyclical. It's a disease that's about scarring in the body, and they don't know why it happens, and there's no cure. And the name of it's called mesentery paniculitis, and it's very rare. There's like under 200 cases around the world. And then also your body becomes inflamed, and so all your lymph nodes swell, and then that's really, really difficult.
But Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it is really a test every day. And so that's why what I'm doing right now with my life is a miracle. I call it a miracle.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of your songs are faith-based, but you also bring in views on society. You recorded the song Breathing In, Breathing Out, and it has one line that says, "Breathing out as we pray for justice, justice in our world." What I'd like to know is justice even possible?
There's another question that I can't answer. My husband always gives me these philosophical questions. I'm like, I can't answer that. That's another question I can't answer. But I sure hope that bringing attention to it would help the situation. You know, justice for our lives, peace, you know, peace in our world. Is there ever going to be peace in our world? I think not. But bringing attention to it, perhaps that will help alleviate some of it, because, you know, we're in a world where things aren't perfect and they never will be, but we can do the best that we can to make them better.
Mm-hmm. Just even in our own neighborhood.
Yes, absolutely.
Something else about Breathing In, Breathing Out is that it has more of a contemporary style. Other songs from you, I guess I'd consider them classical. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference for one style over the other?
No, I don't. And I really am looking forward to putting more electronic touches in my songs. Not all of them, but I want to delve into that. That's what I find so fascinating. I love learning and I love expanding my reach.
So electronic touches, give mm-hmm. me an idea of what you're talking about with that, because that covers a fair bit of ground.
No, synthesized. I'm not going to do AI. I refuse to do AI.
Thank you.
Well, you can't get licensed for AI, so, you know, why do it? And also, I'm not opposed to doing some rap as well. I think in the right spaces and in the right place, it could be extremely effective.
I think that's a great idea. It just shows what you're capable of.
Now I try to keep open.
I think it's time now to talk about my favorite from Peg Luke. Halo is incredibly beautiful. Now, part of the lyrics say, "I can't sleep. I don't want to sleep these last few days. My life seems to be anything but complete. I'm in a haze." You know what? That comes across as sounding like a psalm that David would have written.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Again, I'm kind of in that desperation mode that, You know, I don't have answers if I'm trying to find things humanly. But if I look outside myself, maybe there's an answer. And in this case, it comes in the form of a halo. And it could pertain to someone that you've lost. It could pertain to an angel. It could pertain to spirits. It could pertain to God. It could pertain to maybe a relationship that's gone bad, but that you bring light to it. So, yes.
You know, something I'd read somewhere that you married your husband, Jack, when you were later in life.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean he's now your halo?
Oh, I think so. I still love him. Yeah. Yeah.
How wonderful to find somebody later in life.
Yeah. You know, you really know yourself and you've been through, you know, a few things.
Well, Peg, you've just released something new that you mentioned earlier, and it's called Smiling Through the Pain. So the song does seem to relate to your health. Is that right?
Yes. It started that way. And then when I was composing it, the LA wildfires started happening. And so then the lyrics changed a little bit. And then when I put it out, then the Trump administration started. And then I realized there are a lot of people that are probably smiling through their pain. And hence the song.
I suppose we all have pain in one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're making it sound as if creating will never end for you.
That's how I was born. You know, I had a grade school teacher and we had windows in our classroom and I was always looking out the window. And, you know, I was always in the top groups and always in the National Honor Society, but boy, did I daydream. And she had it right. She's like, yeah, Peg's looking out the window again, daydreaming, you know, creating. That's just who I am.
If it wasn't music, would you be creating in a different way?
Oh, yes, definitely. I love photography. I love art. Yes, definitely.
You're just inherently a creative.
I think so.
Well, listen, Peg, I want to thank you for taking time to share about your music with The Antidote. This has really been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been great to meet you. And I hope some of your listeners will take a moment and open themselves up to maybe something that they would never consider listening to. And perhaps in opening themselves, they might find another part of their soul that they didn't know that existed. Or maybe they'd find light, or maybe they would find positivity. Because in my life, I keep the light and the positive in my world, and I try to keep it in my music as well. Thanks again, Dave, for having me.